Here we are in the congressional corner with Congressman Jim McGovern, one of the most important people in the House of Representatives, who's chairman of the Rules Committee, which is the great traffic cop of the House of Representatives. Welcome, Jim McGovern.
Happy to be with you.
How are things in the 2nd District? I live in the 1st District. You live in the 2nd District. You know, I think about this all the time. You know, Richie Neal in the 1st District is the head of one of the most powerful committees in the Ways and Means Committee. And you're in the 2nd District in lonely Western Massachusetts. And you're in charge of the Rules Committee. That's some powerhouse we've got up here.
Well, we're lucky to be on two very important committees that I think could be could be very helpful, obviously, to Massachusetts, but also are particularly important during this crisis that we now find ourselves in. We want to make sure that we're helping people, you know, who don't have powerful lobbies, who really need the help, people who are struggling, small businesses, and we're working very, very closely together to try to ensure that that's the case.
Jim McGovern, you've always been outstandingly open about things, and I really appreciate that. So let me ask you this. What are our particular needs in your district, the 2nd House District, when it comes to combating the coronavirus? What do we know about the number of infections and deaths in the district?
Well, you know, I mean, I don't know what the latest is today. It keeps on rising every day. Look, the challenges that we're facing are not dissimilar to the challenges that everybody's facing, every state is facing across the country. And what really puzzles me is that based on many conversations with medical experts, with scientists, with those who have studied this disease, you know, they keep on saying that if you really want to get this under control, in addition to practicing social distancing, you know, we need to do testing. And yet we seem to not be aggressively moving forward on tests on the national level. The president is now saying the governors have to do it. Well, we need to provide the governors money if they're going to do all that. And in this last package that Congress passed, against the president's wishes, we put in a whole bunch of money there to help, you know, with testing. But the challenge with this disease is that some people get it and they get very, very sick. There are some people who may have it, who may be carriers, but are totally asymptomatic. They look great. Everything's wonderful, but they could be spreading it. So unless you do the testing, you know, you're really not going to know you're not going to be able to control this in a way that will enable us to safely kind of go back, you know, as close to normal as we can. It's going to take us a while to get back to normal. But what we do not want to do is to prematurely, you know, end these precautions that we have put into place only to have another surge. And then we are in even worse shape as a result of that.
What do we know about the number of infections and deaths in the district? Is the district better off or worse off than the rest of the country? I say that because, you know, I wrote a column saying, hey, people who own second homes here in the 1st District, Great Barrington, should not be seen as pariahs. And boy, did I get it from people around me who said, don't let those people in here.
Well, first of all, Well, first of all, we can't approach it like that. It's not us versus them or, you know, I mean, we're all in this together. And this is one of the things that has really bothered me about the approach, you know, from the White House, is that it's like, you know, pitting one state against the other. I mean, one of the challenges that we have had, you know, in the western part of my district is making sure that everybody has enough, you know, PPE, not just our hospitals, but, you know, also our, you know, our first responders. That's also been the case in Worcester, by the way. I mean, it's like the movie The Hunger Games. You know, you have hospitals, you know, and states competing with other states and other hospitals. And you have the states competing with the federal government. I mean, we're tracking down leads. People call me up and say, I know a guy who knows a guy in China who makes, you know, these protective face masks. Mm. You know, can you help facilitate, a connection so we can try to get them? I mean, that's the kind of stuff that's happening. It's ridiculous. And again, I mean, look, here is the deal right now. I mean, you know, we really need to be looking at what is going well and what is not going well. You know, we need to learn from our past mistakes. I mean, it is unforgivable in my book. And there's a front page story in the Washington Post today saying that the president was warned about this in December and January on a regular basis during his daily national security briefings. I mean, and he seemed to have no interest in it because it was an inconvenient truth. It messed up the narrative that he wanted to put out there. So he kept on, you know, changing the subject. And as you know, in February, he didn't do anything and continued to downplay it, tell everybody how wonderful the Chinese government was in all of this, and then even called it a hoax in early March.
He said it was a Democratic hoax, even worse, right. a Democratic hoax.
Right, and here we are probably in the next, probably today or tomorrow, the number of deaths in the country will be more than those who died in the war in Vietnam. I mean, that's the milestone that we are approaching right now. And so his delay and his denial was deadly. I mean, what should have happened in, you know, when he first found out about this is he should have been, you know, having his healthcare experts come up with a plan to figure out how we can contain this. He should have reached out to all the states to have them do an inventory of what they had in terms of PPE, what they had in terms of ventilators. They didn't do that. And so, you know, he should have invoked the Defense Production Act early on if there was a shortage. I mean, we're scrambling still to get this equipment because we don't know what's going to happen next week or the week after. And the other thing we're concerned about right now is that if you look back to the Spanish flu back in 1918, you know, the worst of it was in the fall. So we may see a downward trend. But then we may see it go back up again. Are we prepared? Have we figured all this out? I talked to a doctor the other day who, at NIH, who was saying, we have to start planning, you know, for the day we get a vaccine, even if that may not be for a year or so away. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? He said, well, one is if we find a vaccine, we're going to have to, you know, ramp up production incredibly swiftly. Are we prepared to do that? And then he says, we need things like, you know, needles to be able to inject people with the vaccine. Do we have enough to cover everybody in this country? And, you know, we should be doing that inventory now. And we should be producing these things so that we have them. I mean, we have people who are telling us they can't get these swabs to do the virus test. Mm-hmm. I mean, so it's, you know, you keep on having to remind yourself, we're the United States of America. We're not some developing country. I mean, we ought to be this needs to be coordinated at a national level, and it just isn't. And it is frustrating as all hell because we actually have Congress working together. I mean, all these bills that we have passed have been bipartisan. I mean, you know, Congress had the reputation where we couldn't even agree on lunch, but here we are. We are passing, you know, major bills. They're not perfect. They're not everything the way I would have liked them, but they are helpful, and we're going to have to do more together. And so, you know, we're sending money to the White House, and they're you know, and we can't be confident that it's going to where it's supposed to go. I mean, we heard about we've seen the stories about luxury steakhouses, and I think the Los Angeles Lakers getting money from this PPP accounts that's meant for small businesses. I mean, we need to make sure we're doing oversight. I had a bill last week that actually passed to create a select committee to do the oversight in real time as to how this money is being spent. It's modeled after the committee that then Senator Harry Truman put together in World War II to make sure all the money that Congress was appropriating was actually going to help win the war. We need to do that kind of oversight now, making sure that those who are in need get the help and those who don't need it are not getting, money that really should go to smaller businesses and to average people.
I love your reference to Truman, Jim McGovern, because that's how he got to be vice president and eventually president, because he did such a good job on that committee. You are so
right. Harry Truman also, you know, had the line, the buck stops here. Yep. That true leaders take responsibility. Boy, it would be nice if we had a true leader right now, because we need people to take responsibility at every level. And I, Andrew Cuomo is doing an incredible job in New York, and so is Charlie Baker in Massachusetts. And I mean, I'm a Democrat, but I see, you know, some of these Republican governors have been good, like Baker and Hogan and in Maryland. I mean, they have stepped up and they've taken responsibility. And look at these decisions that people have to make are not easy. You know, lockdowns are not easy. And the uncertainty, is not easy, to deal with. I mean, I was in the supermarket, yesterday, and people were very concerned about, when will we get back to work and how, what's going to happen, in a month from now, if we're not, and all that. I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty out there. But we need to make sure we're listening to the doctors and the medical professionals. They're the ones who are going to help us get out of this. We're not going to save the economy by going back to work prematurely.
It's so true. We've been talking to one of the best members of the House of Representatives, a guy who I have so much respect for, Jim McGovern. Jim, thanks for being with us today. And when we come back the next time, I'm going to ask you the following question. Why was the U.S. so unready for this pandemic? Okay, thanks, and we'll see you soon.